If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. This morning we're going to speak about one of the most important phrases in the Bible when it comes to reaching other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians, chapter 2, begin reading at verse number 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the very gospel of Jesus Christ, that your Son, Christ Jesus, came into this world to save sinners, that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on that cross bearing our iniquities, that his blood would satisfactorily pay the payment for our sins, that we might be cleansed for our sins and forgiven and set free, reconciled unto God and given eternal life. And Lord, we thank you so much for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, as we have sung this morning, that it's all by grace, all by your grace, not by anything of whom we are or what we've done, but it's all by the very grace of God that brought salvation to us. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts through your word this morning. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A number of years ago, a great number of years ago, I remember receiving. I can't remember if it's either by fax or by letter, but an invitation. An invitation to something. You know, anytime you get an invitation, you're curious. Well, this was an invitation to be in the who's who of America. They have books out. You can get them. They're like yearbooks. But it's the who's who of America. And they said, we've heard that you're a pastor, and you can be a member of this book. You can have your picture on a page, and it'll be all about you. And they said, all you have to do is just fill out this form and send in a biography about yourself and how great you are and what you've done and all this. And then there was a little paragraph on the bottom. Initial application fee is like $50. The book was about $100. And if you want a plaque for the wall, it's another $50. If you want something on your desk, it's another $50. And, of course, it was all a big marketing scheme. But the focus was on your desire to be recognized. Your desire to be recognized. In Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's writing about the gospel. He's writing about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, that's what's important. Souls today hang in the balance over the fires of hell. Every soul without Christ is hanging over an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire by a very thin thread called the long-suffering of God. And Paul writes, chapter 1 is all about the gospel. He says we're servants of Jesus Christ. And he says we should be striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now he comes to chapter 2 and he says, now let's get into the practical aspect of how we can strive together, how we can be servants of Jesus Christ, how we can effectively reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say the world, your family members, your friends, your neighbors, the world around you. And the first thing he's going to focus on, he's going to bring our attention to the person of Jesus Christ. He says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But notice he says, let this mind be in you. Because it's not about actions, it's about attitude, the attitude of the heart. And then he goes on to give us two examples of two people of whom this attitude, this mindset, this mind of Christ is evident in their life, because when you have the mind of Christ, it will be evident in the actions in your life. And he speaks of Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 20, speaking of Timothy. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things of Christ. And he says, Timothy is a good example. He says, because Timothy, he seeks for others. He's not seeking for himself. And then he speaks of Epaphroditus. And down later on, if you just go down to verse number 29, I receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here's another individual, Epaphroditus, and he says, Epaphroditus, he says, he was more concerned about you than he was about your own life. You know, you can go back to the Gospel of John, and when you read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John starts out with a man who the Bible describes as John the Baptist. A man that came out of the wilderness, sent by God, to prepare the way of the Lord. And he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, a group of men gathered around John sometime after that, and they started to have this discussion, and then they made this statement to John the Baptist. They said, John, you baptized this man Jesus, and now he is baptizing more than you, and the multitude of people are following him and not you. And what they were seeming to say was, doesn't that bother you? You're not getting the recognition, John. He's getting all the recognition. You're not getting all the accolades. You're not getting all the attention. And John the Baptist made this one arresting statement. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, that were the heart's desire of every Christian today, but sadly to say, I think that in a lot of Christianity, that phrase is lost in the shuffle. But that's the first principle that is given to us in Philippians chapter 2. If we desire to be servants of Christ, if we desire to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then he must increase. I must decrease. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, and he says this, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. He says, let this be the attitude. Let this be the attitude of your heart and your mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. That's the phrase that I want to speak about this morning. Because without that phrase there, none of the rest of the scripture would follow. But he made himself of no reputation. And how important this is, even today, for you and me. Made himself of no reputation. Let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. The first thing when we think about this is, is who? Who made himself of no reputation? And then what? What does it mean he made himself of no reputation? But then more importantly, the question, why? 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 You see, when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes to serving Christ and the gospel, it starts with a pure and proper attitude of the heart. Yesterday I was on the phone and I was talking with John Perkins, John and Judy Perkins, but I was talking with John Perkins. Now, you won't find John Perkins on the internet. You won't find his name on any social media. You won't find him there because he's not there. You won't read any books by John Perkins. He hasn't written any books. I remember one time, it was a Wednesday night many years ago, and I was preaching, and I was just standing right here and preaching on a Wednesday night. And I remember seeing this man just come in the back and sit in the back row. I'm looking, and you know, sometimes you can't just recognize who's in the back row. And I remember seeing this man sit in the back row. So after the service, I went up to him, and I says, John. It was John Perkins. And I said, why didn't you tell me you were coming? Why didn't you let me know so you could present your ministry and tell us about what's going on and everything else? And he just quietly smiled and he says, no, I just came to be with you guys tonight. And you see, that's the way he is. That's the way he and Judy have always been. Years ago, they're from Clinton, Connecticut. Back in the 60s, they got saved, and in the 60s, they went off to a Bible school to get trained, and then they went off to Venezuela. They just went off to reach the people of Venezuela with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, after all these years, they've come back, and because of health reasons and political reasons and everything else, they're not able to be in Venezuela. They would love to be in Venezuela. Their heart is in Venezuela to reach those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I asked him yesterday, I said, John, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm just holding the chair down. He says, I'm just holding the chair down. And I said, no, John, really, what are you doing? He says, well, every couple of weeks I talk to the pastors in Venezuela and we just try and help them out as much as we can. And there's a man that Paul is describing. Someone that wasn't concerned with a reputation, wasn't concerned with their name being well known, wasn't concerned with themselves, but is only concerned with one thing, reaching the souls of the people of Venezuela with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is writing about. And he gives us the example, the ultimate example, the perfect example of Jesus Christ. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, you start with the who, Jesus Christ. And right there it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Of anybody, the only person that has the right, if you would, to to make himself known, to make, to just elevate himself. I mean, God said that in all things he should have the preeminence. And it says he, being equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, as in many passages of Scripture, we can see who Paul is writing about, Jesus Christ. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then you go down to verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we can read John chapter 1. We could go over to Hebrews chapter 1 and we could read. In fact, go to Hebrews chapter 1 just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 1, and because here God is speaking of his Son, Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also we made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And it goes on to describe Jesus Christ. And when we think of that question, who? We're speaking of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. But we come to the what? In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? What does it mean when it says he made himself of no reputation? It means he was willing to leave heaven. Be born in the flesh. Live among men. And not even be elevated in a position of reputation as a man, but be despised, rejected, not looked upon with honor. Not held in high regard, but just the opposite. You know, you read through the Gospel of John, and we love to read, and I love to read and study the seven times when Jesus Christ says, I am. I am. Oh, it's a beautiful study in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, he says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. But may I submit to you this morning that none of those I ams of Jesus Christ would be of any value if there was not another I am that's mentioned of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And it's found in Psalm 22, and it's a perfect description, an illustration of what Paul is writing about. For in Psalm 22, it depicts Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus says, I am. But he doesn't say, I'm the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I am the door, or the vine, or the bread of life, or the resurrection of life. He says something that not a one of us here would really desire to say of ourselves. But in Psalm 22, he says this, in verse number 6, but I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. He says, I am a worm. And no man, a reproach of men, and despise the people. I remember back a long time ago when Pastor Donnie was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I was working in landscape construction. And all of a sudden, I had this brilliant idea because I found this raccoon, a dead raccoon. You probably don't remember this. It's one of those memories you don't want to have. But I'm going to bring it up. So I found this dead raccoon while I was working one day. And I thought, I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to make my son a coonskin hat. We used to watch Daniel Boone. What a great show. And I knew he'd love it. I knew he'd, you know, a great idea. So I picked that dead raccoon up off the side of the road. I threw it in the truck, brought it back to the shop. Fortunately, I didn't bring it home. And our marriage has endured. But I left it at the shop, and I said, I'll just stick it out behind this shed. Then I forgot about it. The next day, I said, oh, that raccoon. I said, I'm going to go check out that raccoon. Want to make a coonskin hat? Brilliant mistake turned into a very bad idea. Because the next day I looked, and where that raccoon was, all I saw was a pile of maggots. Exactly. And I put some gloves on, and I picked that thing up, and I threw it as far as I could in the woods. And I said, no, son, I'm sorry, there's no raccoon hat for you. But maggots. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am a worm. I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. You know, if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, you see, Jesus Christ was willing. He didn't lay aside his deity, but he laid aside his reputation, his person, who he was. Isaiah 53, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire. He's despised and rejected of men. In fact, John chapter 1 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And what did Jesus Christ do? The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He was willing to do that. He was willing to become a nobody. And the biggest question is why? Why? In fact, Job writes in Job chapter 25, verse number 6. Job writes, how much less man that is a worm? I mean, just stop and think. And the Son of Man, which is a worm. Just think of the disparity. Because we're speaking of Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. Becomes a man. But then says, I'm a worm. I'm a worm. Nothing. Why? Well, you see, that word worm is significant. In fact, when you go back to the tabernacle, and you go back to the clothes that the priests had and many of the things that were representative of Jesus Christ in the temple and the tabernacle and the priestly garments and everything that was would be a picture of Jesus Christ. Many times and many facets of those different things, they would dye the cloth or the garments or different things in the color crimson. Where would they get that dye from? Where would they get that color from? Well, it came from a worm. It came from a little worm that would attach itself to a tree. And as that worm died, it would produce whatever was necessary to make that dye a crimson color. And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood for you and me. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That word crimson is the same Hebrew word for worm found in Psalm 22. Well, how does that work? Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, when Jesus hung on that cross, that the Lord laid on him, God laid on him, the iniquities of us all, so that through his blood, through the crimson blood of Jesus Christ,
we could be white as wool and white as snow. And our sins could be forgiven. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, when Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, in the whole first chapter, Paul's emphasis is on the gospel. So many times we think of the gospel and we say, yes, the gospel is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yes, that is the gospel, but that's the truth of the gospel, the facts of the gospel. But there's so much more, folks. Because the gospel is the difference of a person's soul where it's going to spend eternity. It's the gospel, folks. And it's not just about giving words out. It's about caring about a person's soul. It's about having a care, a concern, a burden, a heart for the soul of another person. A soul that hangs in the balance. Who has today but might not have tomorrow. And Paul writes and he says, if we're going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then basically what he's saying is, number one, Jesus Christ has got to be first and foremost. But then secondly, what he's saying is the souls of others have to be more important than you and yourself. The souls of others has to be more important than me and myself. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. That phrase, that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, that means to fight to make yourself known, to make it about you. Much like it is in many places in the workplace. Everybody's scrambling to get on that top rung of the ladder, if you will. Paul says it can't be that way when it comes to the gospel. And he says the question is this. And this is the question I posed to us this morning. What's more important? The souls of lost people around you? Or yourself? Who's more important to you? The person without Christ or yourself? And Paul says if we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to be esteeming others better than ourselves. We have to be thinking more about them than we are about us. Caring more about them than we do about us. Praying for them. Reaching out to them. Having a heart and compassion for them. More than caring about our own selves. You know, Wednesday night we read a letter, long letter from the Heise family over in Romania. I called Julie Heise yesterday. I spent some time talking with her on the phone, and boy, what a refreshing time it was, what an encouraging time, what a joyful time it was. And with all the challenges that they're facing with Pete's health and everything else, she was just upbeat and telling about everything that's going on over there. But I remember back in
1998, when Pete first came here, I remember sitting in a Pizza Hut with Pete and his daughter Larissa and Crystal, and we just went out for pizza afterwards, and I remember Pete telling me about how and why he was going to Romania. And he had visited there 19 times. He was a pastor in Pennsylvania, had a good church in Pennsylvania, good ministry, just everything good about it. And he went over to Romania to visit the gypsies, and after 19 times of visiting the gypsies, he said, I finally understood that God was calling us to go to the gypsies. And so they gave up the pastorate and their nice home in Pennsylvania, nice setting, a nice church, and all the comfortable lifestyle of that life. And they went over to Romania. But not just to Romania. They went to this little village. Mășitnu? How do you say it? How do you say it, Norm? How do you say it, Jack? Well, I can't even remember how to pronounce it. But this little village of gypsies, a bunch of just little shacks and homes. I mean, you want to know just about the extent of it, well, go live in the woodshed out there for a year. Because that's about the size of it. And they had a home they were living in, but the community. And they went to just live amongst the gypsies and preach the gospel to them. And now all these years later, here it is. You know, number of years later, all these years later. And Pete's health is in just not good. And yet they've determined and they've purposed that they're just going to stay over there. They're going to live over there. And they're just going to keep living amongst the gypsies. Pete can't preach anymore. He can talk. He can play the accordion. She says, the Lord brought us over here to minister to these people so that they would be saved. And they said, we just want to live here and we want to die here. We want to live here and we want to die amongst these people. And I believe that's going to be one of the biggest testimonies of their life. Because for the gypsy people, they can't understand why someone would give up living in the United States to live amongst them. I remember one gypsy man saying to me in the gypsy language, and it was translated, but he basically said, if I get saved, do I get to go live in the United States? And here's a couple that they've given their life to just live amongst these people. And why? Because the souls of those people are more important to them than their own selves. And their hope and their prayer is that those people will see how important they are through the testimony of Pete and Julie. That one man named Jan will see by their life the best thing he could do would trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And Paul says, let this mind be also in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How important are the souls of others to you?
Are you willing to be a worm so that they can potentially, through faith in Jesus Christ, be a child of God? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that your word has just spoken to our hearts, Lord. Oh, that we would see it's not about us. But it's about you, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's the souls of men and women all around us that need Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us. Help us to have the mind, the heart, the attitude of Jesus Christ, that we might reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and souls might be saved. For thy glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen.